And now for something completely different.
Welcome to Shout Out. Out of the closet and into your ears.
It's a new Shout Out week, and as usual, direct your ears without any middlemen. Sorry, persons.
This week we chat to content creator, musician, singer-songwriter and trans activist Bobby Pickard.
Talent right there. In fact, right here.
She's live in the studio, so no escape as we've locked the studio door.
All right, here in the next hour on Shout Out. Well, that was a good start, wasn't it?
I loved that.
That was brilliant.
I'm not sure whether that was a fault with the track.
No. It was done on purpose because you're very talented.
I just think you need to listen to it twice. That's why. You didn't hear it the first time, so we did a little delay just to make sure you're really paying attention.
Okay, I think it was an arthritic, twitchy finger, personally.
Or a stylistic choice.
Yeah,
it's a stylistic choice. Yeah, let's say it with that.
Okay. We were all very seduced by the seductory advert. Prior
yes, to, indeed.
To Shout Out. I feel like we
Who
know her.
What, the chill out thing?
Yeah.
Yeah, she sounds familiar.
Very.
Very. Yeah. But I can't quite place it.
No.
Actually.
I feel like maybe...
It's a very sexy programme between 2 a.m. and 5 a.m. on BCFM radio.
Yeah, I've heard it's a song called like hours. Stephanie Barnett or something like that.
Well, with a name like that, it's going to be sexy. Isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
Because I can't sleep.
Yeah, but that's how it is.
No, it's all recorded.
Oh, right, okay.
I am not going to be up between 2 a.m. and 5 a.m.
Just making sure you're chill.
Yeah.
Really making sure.
Very chill.
It's how a good listen if you can't sleep. Yeah. That's all.
It's a bit too early if you're coming back from the club, isn't it?
I really just want to know how are we today.
Yeah, Darren wants to just check in.
Sorry, Darren.
I just want to
ask again.
How's everybody doing?
Oh, we're okay.
We're good. We're having a good day.
Gay. It's a gay day.
Oh, gay day.
You see the Irish, the Irish person, Linehan, is it? He was in court today.
Was he?
Yeah, described as vindictive, ugly, overweight.
Oh. What has he done?
Why would you want to be on the... he was outside the courts with a placard.
What, they said all of those descripting words on him about himself?
I am.
But if he's on telly, because the TV crews were there and a lot of press, if you're that ugly, why would you want to be on the telly or on the front page of
he's angling for a different show, like a Gokwan-esque makeover.
He's never going to make Gokwan. Oh,
no,
sorry. No.
What's he done?
We are completely clueless right now. I'm speaking on this person like I have any idea.
Lucy's in the back... And asking me how do I not know, and it's because I've made a choice to be purposely ignorant.
You've
for
gone
a few
for
weeks.
A media blackout.
I have, so I don't know what day it is.
No, and you know what? We won't tell you. Stay in your little
hole. I think it's Tuesday.
Oh, close.
Is it? Does it begin with a T?
Yeah.
Right.
Oh, there we go. But you know what? They're easily confused.
They are.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. T-U-T-H.
Yeah.
Could you explain what's actually happened? Because I genuinely don't know.
He got arrested at the airport the other day by 5 armed police officers because he sent a tweet. He was
threatening
violence to any trans person who went into a toilet saying, kick him in the balls. So they arrested him. They should have just shot him. If they got firearms, why didn't they just? I mean,
so you're inciting violence there as well. So I mean, you've got to be careful with it. There's a balance.
No, but they are the police. I'm not saying anybody should shoot him.
Okay.
Oh, just only the police.
It has to be a police
with a
officer,
registered firearm, and then you're all right with him.
Yeah. Fine. And they got a warning. Of
this
course.
Is tongue in cheek, by the way, listeners.
Yeah.
Tongue and cheek.
Yeah. BT dubs. Don't take this out of context.
No. If you do, can you send us the edit? Make a great meme.
Yeah.
Shout out of context. Yeah. No, there is a lot going on in the world, and I think sometimes the way that we manage it, and I can only talk on my behalf actually, the way I manage it is through humour. Because it is overwhelming. There is a lot of really, really distressing things going on. There's a lot of things outside of our control. There's also a lot of things within our control. And that's, I guess, why I'm focusing a bit more on that.
People,
yes, it is.
So I had someone worried about going back to therapy training because they're not sure what the college are going to do with toilets.
Yeah.
You know? It's that kind of beast.
Yeah. Exactly.
Personally, I'm still going to the loos like I have done in the latest loos like for the last 30 years. And the statistics, guess how many blokes in dresses have raped and pillaged in the latest loo?
None. Yeah, I know.
If only we had like a sound effect, we could just go.
because you go 0%. To the toilet to do.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
Exactly. Actually, it's a very social place, I found.
No, the girls' toilets are very social. Yeah.
Everyone's saying, what lovely hair you got. Where did you get your makeup?
Oh, my God. Anyone in a drunk night out walks into a girl's toilets, it's literally just that. It's, oh, you're so gorgeous.
Oh, do you remember that time we were coming back from the Way Out Club in London? We stopped at the services. Ago. It was. It was packed with what must have been a hen do. And we couldn't get away from the place because where did you get your hair done? Your makeup?
Autographs.
And of course, we weren't drunk. Well, I wasn't because I was driving.
You always drive.
I drove, yeah. Because I don't need to drive.
Tara was absolutely leathered.
No, guys, I think we've just cracked it, though.
What's that?
Well, that's the reason everybody's throwing up a fuss, right? It's because all the men are going, well, clearly there's parties going on in the female changing room.
But they've got that whole thing. Three urinals, you go for one left, one right, you never go in the middle.
Oh, really?
That's right.
See, that's news.
There are rules. There are rules.
It's a hierarchy. Okay. How will you pee? Everybody get to know.
Right, really looking forward to chatting to Bobby any moment. But first of all, we're going to have a little bit of music.
Shout out. LGBT radio for you.
The Shout Out Podcast.
Talk Talk. And It's My Life. I think it's about three or four tracks with that title. It's My Life, all very different. Seal does a good one, in fact.
Oh, care to give us a little sing-song, Steph?
No.
Okay. Well, that was short-lived.
Well, with this accent?
Yeah, I think that's a good cover. Yeah.
You've got no chance.
No?
Yeah.
Not a little one.
Yeah. Okay. Welcome to Shout Out, Bobby Pickard.
Thank you. You're such a privilege to be here, actually.
Very welcome, Bobby. Now, we spoke at Bristol Pride because you were supposed to do a gig at Bristol Pride, but then somebody decided to try out their drum kit right behind you. And although what was ironic was is that the crowd could actually hear you quite clearly.
Yes.
But you were being disturbed and couldn't concentrate because you had this drum set going on.
Well, I had, it was Kim Wilde's drummer deciding to do his sound check about a foot away from my ear, and it was also coming through the front of stage monitors as well. So it was this great big wall of sound.
Yeah.
And
very upsetting for you. So we promised you that we'd have you on Shout Out. But before we get into that, Bobby, let's take you back. Now you're a musician, singer, songwriter. How did you get into that when you were growing up?
You know what I. I was such a cheesy answer, but I think I was singing before
You could walk.
Before basically.
The classic.
It's just like and it was I remember being in primary school and being in like the school choir and doing like solos and all of that, and I just loved it. And I think when I got to about 11 or 12, I got my dad, who was a complete cheapskate, went out and bought a £2 guitar that was, that was completely unplayable. And I spent ages and ages trying to play it. Got nowhere. So I actually moved over to bass guitar.
Oh, okay.
And then spent 30 years or so playing around clubs playing just about everything, actually. You know, I did a Spinal Tap tribute band. I played in double bass in swing bands, and I had a residency at a burlesque club. I did two or three gigs a week at one stage, and absolutely loved it, playing bass and singing, which actually is quite a difficult thing to do. It's far harder playing bass and singing than it is playing guitar and singing, because guitar, typically, you just run along with the rhythm of the guitar of the song. Bass, you
it's like tapping your head, rubbing your belly, sort of.
It is, it is.
I can't do it right now. I'm trying.
You get around then.
Well, that's what the graffiti in the toilet says.
Yeah.
I guess when I started transitioning, I was medically transitioning. I think all trans people transition their whole lives, because we always want to try and, everybody, whether you're trans or not, always wants to try and present themselves in a way that you see yourself in your mind's image. But medically transitioning, I was playing around all of the working men's clubs and social clubs of South London. That was incredibly hard.
Mm.
You know, very intolerant and very...
Yeah, I can imagine.
...outspoken.
Yeah, yeah. Were you born in London?
I was born in Surbiton in South London and moved, spent most of my life in Epsom, in Surrey. I had one of those... I kind of feel like I do that queer bingo thing these days, you know, because I've got, like, you know, I've got a tattoo... I've got a python. I've got a python called Frodo.
I feel like you're giving us
dirty
an idea.
Little hobbies.
Yeah, exactly.
It's a new idea for a guest that we have in. Let's do a bingo card. And how many can we get ticked
off? Bingo.
Bingo. That'd be a good idea.
Yeah. So I did, multiple piercings, all that sort of thing. But I had the main bingo card thing, which was you have to have a queer catastrophe in your life. And so I was part of an abusive relationship for a number of years, another queer bingo. And had to leave my home at 3 o'clock in the morning to blue lights and ambulances and police. So I ended up being homeless for 7 months, wandering around. Just at the time that COVID and all the lockdowns started, all of the sort of spare sofas and everything around the country disappeared, all the spare rooms disappeared, hotel rooms disappeared. But somehow I managed to not end up sleeping in my car. But I lived in 11 different towns from 2020 to about the end of 2021.
Had a bit of a tour, really.
I did a quick tour of the country and discovered that just about every single town is exactly the same as any other town. They have the same shops in the high street and all of that.
Co-op.
Exactly.
Spa.
Exactly.
Post. Sometimes the post office is in the co-op.
It is.
If you're lucky.
Or the one stop. Which is which is very important.
Yeah, Iceland.
Iceland.
Quick save.
Yes.
Oh, depends how rural it is.
Oxfam.
Always.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it was really great. So I did all that.
To mention a few.
Yeah.
There are other shops available.
Yeah.
So I ended up in Brighton, had a hideous experience in Brighton. So I thought, well, where am I going to go now? And I was thinking of moving to Scotland, thinking about van life, things. But my son lives in Swansea and my daughter at the time was living in Southampton. So I thought, I'll move to Bristol.
Middle ground.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Absolutely love it here. I mean, I live a little bit out these days in Wiltshire, but yeah, Bristol's got such a vibe to it.
It's a bubble.
It is a bubble, but what a great bubble it is. I can't think of any other city in the country that would have torn down the statue of a slaver and thrown it in the harbour. And I just think that's bloody brilliant.
They do special on that.
They do say that Bristol is the Paris of England.
Yes, actually, you know what? I completely get that.
Because we like a riot.
Exactly. But it's
for the right reasons.
Love it.
Yeah,
but they never hurt anyone.
No.
Exactly.
Yeah, just an ex-slaver's feelings, I guess.
Exactly.
Yeah. An image of an ex-slaver.
Yes.
Yes.
Not true. Sorry.
What do you mean it's not true?
Oh, he's a made-up image of what he was.
Oh, I see.
That's true.
Is it just a representation?
It's a representation. Yes. He was a person, but what they represent is slightly different.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think they do a lot of that in statues, don't they?
Yeah.
You
know, representations rather than...
But they'd rather protect statues than people.
Well, that seems
and
to
that's
be
the strange thing, and I guess that's
absolutely.
Because I bet there's statues of Putin throughout Russia, and I bet he's about 6'6". And his statues.
Well, I mean, he has his own calendar.
Well, he's probably got a bear next to him as well.
Yeah,
so that's taken more money.
That's probably why he needed Keir Starmer's new communications director to help him gain that image, wasn't it?
Yeah,
very true. That
so Bristol's home.
It is, little Chippenham is home these days. But, which, funnily enough, I was expecting, after living in Bristol, I was expecting it to be very unqueer. and very, you know,
satellite now, isn't it? People can't afford Bristol, so they move to Chippenham, yeah, Western, yeah,
absolutely,
Supermere.
Mm. Yeah, absolutely. And and you know what, Chippenham is, I think, out of all of the towns that I've lived in, is absolutely the queerest place that I've ever been.
And really? They've got their own pride as well.
We have Chippenham Pride Fest. I'm now champion and trustee now. Yeah, it's fabulous, and we do it in a slightly different way.
Countrified, little bit countrified.
Yeah, but we based it on the Chippenham Folk Festival, which is one of the country's biggest folk festivals. But instead of having a central stage, we've actually got all of the venues around Chippenham running their own.
Oh, okay. So it includes everyone.
Absolutely. So we have a lesbian set of events. We have an ace set of events. We've got drag queens. We've got.
So it really does involve the whole community.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think this year we only have 4 months to arrange it this year, but we had 27 events.
Okay.
Running over the course of a weekend.
And can I ask how the funding is going? Because I know it's a big thing in Pride at the moment, isn't it?
It is.
Prides are really struggling with money.
Yeah. And actually, we arranged all 27 events this year on a budget of £4,000.
Wow.
That we raised ourselves. Mm. So that was fab. And actually, coming back to the music thing, I actually did, after a long break, actually, where I've just been playing at home, I actually started playing acoustic guitar. Again, I've been playing it on and off for a number of years, but when the queer catastrophe happened, the only thing I could take is a roll-on case, you know, one of those little cases, yeah, full of clothes, and I just grabbed my oldest guitar, which is a lovely, it's a 1982 Takamine that I bought, I think about a year old, so it's a gorgeous guitar, just grabbed it, and literally I had nothing to do for most days other than sit down and play guitar, so that's where I sort of moved back onto to acoustic guitar, and I played a few festivals. I played the, I don't know if you've heard of Out and Wild Festival.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So the amazing Polly Shoots, one of my friends, I've played played at Out and Wild a couple of times, and played at Chippenham Pride Fest this year as well. So it's it was good.
Well received.
It was really lovely. It was really fabulous, actually. It was one of those. I played, funnily enough, we just heard It's My Life. I played Billy Joel's My Life as one of the songs. And really, I sort of did a set that was based on my life. So, you know, it was songs throughout my life that either meant something to me, or songs that I'd written at a certain time. And
we find that, don't we, that as we go through life, there's a piece of music that represents each section of our life.
Oh, completely.
And when it comes up, like the first time I ever danced in a nightclub was to the Beach Boys, Do It Again.
Amazing.
So whenever that comes on, my mind goes straight back to Sharehampton Village. There was a nightclub in Sharehampton. There was a.
Did they have an Oxfam?
There was a, no, not then. No.
Was the nightclub called Roxy's or Cinderella's?
Can't remember, but it had a swimming bath, it had a cinema.
Oh,
anything.
That sounds amazing.
Now it's all gone. Oh. It's a shame. Yeah, I remember going out. Did you used to do that as a kid? Go to the cinema on a Saturday morning. It was kids' cinema, and it's screaming, and shouting, and throwing things.
Yeah.
And
I didn't
that was
do
like
any of
the
that.
Midnight showing as well was quite like that as well. So I remember watching The Song Remains the Same by Led Zeppelin at a midnight midnight showing, and that I'm showing my age again now.
I've done the where they've done the trilogies, so midnight, but it starts at like 9 o'clock at night and you leave at like 6 a.m.
Yeah, it's fabulous.
That's
isn't
amazing.
It?
Yeah.
My son and I are huge Star Wars fans.
I love
and
Star Wars.
And we did that. Oh, do you?
Yeah.
We did when The Force Awakened came out, we were so excited, and we watched the original trilogy
amazing
in the cinema before The Force Awakens, and then we actually came back, so that was in London, and then we came back
so
home, and then caught
two,
6
four,
o'clock
six,
showing
seven well. Seven plus hours.
It was just I can't remember.
That's a shift.
It was brilliant. It was fabulous, and like, you know, people all dressed up as
Yoda.
Chewie and all of that. And it's just special.
I need to do that.
Right, we're going to break for a track. Tara, you want to have a...
There was just one quote. It sounds like music was a real saviour for you while you were out.
Oh, absolutely.
It was like that helped kept your mental health.
And it still does. Still does now. You know, it's I think, you know, when I have happy times, when I have sad times, then, you know, I think there's been more... I think out of anything in my life, probably my guitars have absorbed more happy and sad tears than anything else I possess, and that's something that's so important, isn't it?
To find that,
yeah,
absolutely,
yeah.
Right, we're going to have a track, very poignant, I think, this track, and we'll come back for the news, and then Bobby will come back on after the news. Thank you, Bobby.
Thank you.
The Shout Out Podcast.
Kate Nash and Germ. Now, before we go to the news, we were just saying off mic how things are quite recent. Then you look back and you think, wow, did that just happen only sort of 40 or 50 years ago? Mm. Listen to this news snippet.
Well, it's the end of all those jokes about women drivers. As any woman will tell you, it was a pretty lousy joke anyway. Redhead Jill Viner has been angling for the job of bus driver since she was 8. Now she's got it. The men might say it's a desperate solution for a serious situation. London Transport are 3,200 drivers short, and like it or lump it, Jill is pretty certain to be the first of many women drivers. To use a popular old wives' tale aimed at erring husbands and all us men, we've brought it on ourselves. With true feminine magnanimity, Jill says there'll be no display of female power, she'll wear trousers. But with a pretty girl like Jill at the wheel, who's complaining anyway?
Well, at least she's pretty.
Isn't that,
I'm not going to get on a bus if it's a female bus driver or a trans, queer, or binary person if they're not at least attractive.
The thing is, Steph, when you went to Pride,
I'm not tapping in, tapping off.
The thing is, Steph, when you jumped on the bus at Pride, did you not think, well, I hope the bus driver is actually gorgeous because otherwise I can't do my radio show?
Yeah, she does. She said it to me. And you've read her, right?
It was only 10 years before that Bristol had its first black conductor.
So that was 1973, 74,
was it?
Well, this clip you just played.
Yeah, this one is 1974. Yeah, so it was 10 years. In the mid-60s, wasn't it, when the first black driver and black conductor.
Yes, about 1964, yes.
But even then, people like that, they weren't getting on those buses because the first female bus driver, they would stay and wait for the one driven by a man.
Crazy.
But they were doing
that. Sorry, why were you late to work today? Oh, the female bus driver came, so I couldn't
wasn't wearing a dress, so I was like, no and no.
Double no.
But it was the
My
same
queer
in
bingo wasn't being ticked.
It wasn't bingoing.
Indeed. But in Bristol, white people were not getting on the bus if there was a black bus driver or even a black conductor. Because obviously there were conductors then. Isn't that crazy that people wouldn't get on for the first woman in 74 and 10 years before that wouldn't get on because of the colour of somebody's skin? You know, and now we seem to be hurtling back towards those days in relation to homophobia and transphobia.
Well, I mean, you know, talking heads like Rowling would sort of say, oh, obviously, you know, a bus driver in trousers must be a trans woman because she's not feminine enough. Do you see what I mean? We're going back
with these
transphobic people. We're going back to kind of stereotypes which feminism was supposed to liberate us from.
Yeah. Is our news team ready for the news?
Yes, we are.
I reckon. Welcome to Shout Out News. Welcome along.
The anti-fascist campaign group Hope Not Hate say that their members have been victorious in halting a planned neo-Nazi rock concert in Great Yarmouth. The event was to have accommodated some 500 veteran Nazis, including violent parts of the fascist skinhead movement and supporters of well-known Nazi fighting squads, some of them subject to sanction as terror organisations in the UK. Hope Not Hate report that an undisclosed venue had been booked out for the weekend by gig organisers Rob Claymore and local Blood and Honour veteran Robert Bray, Blood and Honour being an umbrella group for neo-Nazi rockers. Hope Not Hate went on to say over 34,000 anti-fascists emailed the Home Office and spread the word. Local press, councils and police took notice, and under pressure we have just received the news that the venue has pulled the plug. This is a huge win. They wanted a weekend of hate, recruitment and fundraising, and instead they were shut down by people like you. Community and mainstream media, including even some traditionally right-of-centre publications, were praised for joining in focusing attention on the thuggish element the rock event would draw.
BBC News, Sky News and ITV News all reported on Wednesday that the mother of Brianna Jai, the trans teenager murdered by bigots in 2023, has called on schools to stop mobile phones used by students on their premises. Esther Jai revealed that Brianna's life had been disrupted by social media, and it is now well established that social media has led to a spread in right-wing views amongst pupils.
Blogger Erin in the Morning, who publishes daily, reports that a war has broken out in Florida over pride crosswalks. At the centre is the Pulse nightclub memorial crosswalk, painted in rainbow colours to honour the lives lost in the 2016 Pulse massacre, but since painted over by the anti-LGBTQ plus state authorities. State officials are moving to erase rainbow crosswalks across Florida, but the Pulse site has become a flashpoint of resistance. Protesters have returned again and again to chalk the rainbow colours back in, while state police have dispatched round-the-clock patrols to monitor the intersection. On Friday night last, the conflict escalated and the first arrest was made, only for a judge to immediately order the protesters' release, ruling that Florida Highway Patrol had no probable cause, even as the state continues to detain others on identical charges.
An LGBTQI plus hero, the Mental Health, Emotional Health and Wellbeing Network issues thanks for the huge show of community support for its recent bank holiday fun day. They say we raised over £14,500, which is an incredible amount and will help LGBT heroes' vital work reach even more people in our community. We couldn't have done it without all of the teams and volunteers. The RVT staff, our wonderful compere son of a tutu, our brilliant commentator Nick Heath and incomparable referee Ryan Atkin. And we absolutely couldn't have done it without each and every one of you who turned up to support us, cheer on the teams, buy raffle tickets and give the day such an incredible, joyous and welcoming atmosphere. Also a huge shout out to our brilliant, daring and fearless team this year, the Beef Mincers. Will you be there, darling? Bear Bar Retirement, Mosaic Trust, London Frontrunners, Pride in London, and the Titans. How did our teams do? Here are the results for those who couldn't attend. First place, the Titans. Second place, the Beef Mincers. Third place, Pride in London. And the top fundraisers, Will You Be There, Darling, who raised a whopping £2,150. Thank you to our incredible volunteers and everyone who donated and attended, as well as a shout out to the wonderful The Royal Vauxhall Tavern for being a supportive partner. Everyone at LGBT Hero is very thankful for the support, and the money raised will help us to continue building a happier and healthier LGBTQI plus community.
I love the idea of the Beef Mincers. What a great name. Campaign for Countering Digital Hate has found that incel hate helped motivate the online forum behind the T-dating app leak. This leak was picked up by misogynist communities as a great cause and one that they can obviously take pride in, their head of research, Callum Hood, told the BBC. The BBC News article explains that the women-led T-dating app, which allowed users to explore whether a potential partner was on the sex offenders register and a problem for other women, had been hacked, the data plundered and repurposed for misogynist websites. Women's details were now available online, and doxing, abuse and ridicule of the T-dating app users have become common. The BBC says that underlying these issues is an anxiety about heterosexual dating in the modern world, with a record number of young people avoiding it.
And now that summer bank holiday is out of the way and done with, the advertising world is turning its attention to Halloween and, on the horizon, the C word. Well, many people feel that this is all terribly premature, but if you do happen to enjoy festive music months ahead of the holiday season, then our radio experts report that the Magic Radio Group have switched on their special pop-up digital DAB radio station, Magic Xmas, playing non-stop festive tunes. Heart Xmas expected to follow suit later in September, and Forever with Pride, the online LGBTQR Plus magazine, has announced that it will, for the fourth year, be publishing a special Christmas Marketplace supplement in 2025. For more information about how to advertise your business in this year's edition, visit foreverwithpride.com.
That's enough of Christmas for now. That's it from us this week. Do visit our website for more content at shoutoutradio.lgbt and keep in tune with LGBTQIA Plus podcasts, magazines and digital media through the week. We'll see you next time. For Shoutout News, this has been Terry Starr.
And Ezra Peregrine.
Shoutout News.
National and international LGBT news for you.
For more information about Shoutout Radio, visit us online at shoutoutradio.lgbt.
Shoutout.
LGBT radio for you.
The Shoutout Podcast.
Freya Riding's Very Powerful Castles. And we're back now with Bobby. Right. Now, before we do run out of time,
yes,
tell us a little bit about what you were actually going to say at Bristol Pride on that stage.
Yeah, thank you. It's I think actually it's a message that I think is incredibly important at the minute, you know, especially for people in the LGBTQIA plus community that aren't trans, but also anybody outside of the LGBTQIA plus community that is a trans ally and believes in human rights. And that's essentially, you need to rethink what your actions are around your allyship if you want to call yourself an ally. There's so many people that I mean, I think I do over 100 events a year, and just about everybody sort of says they're, you know, I'm a trans ally, or they ask how they can be a better trans ally. I think 5 years ago or 10 years ago, you could be an ally by almost being a passive ally. You could wear a rainbow lanyard, you could wear a You're Safe With Me badge, you could put a rainbow flag up on your desk or whatever, and that would in itself, with very little effort, provide allyship to the trans community or the non-binary community or the wider LGBTQIA community. I think these days, if you're just doing those things, then I think it's time to stop calling yourself an ally and start referring to yourself as a bystander, because the threshold for allyship has moved on. If you want to be an ally these days, you need to be involved. You need to be going to trans pride protests and marches, and there's a wonderful Bristol Trans Pride movement that is just incredible, one of the best in the country. You need to be, most importantly, writing to your PM, and not just writing to your MP. You can write to the PM as well, and the Equalities
Indeed,
Minister,
I think,
and
we
the
all
Business
need to.
Secretary. But you know, write to your MP and just make it completely plain to them that you don't agree with the direction that the government and this country is heading in, and make it plain. All at the minute, all they're hearing is anti-trans voices, especially around that central cabinet. All they're hearing is trans exclusionary voices, and I think people feel powerless. You know, I think, I mean, my mum, bless her, you know, she's 80 something, 81 or 82 now, and she was saying to me the other day, you know, it's awful, but there's nothing I can do about it. Well, there is, because despite everything, we're living in a democracy.
Yeah, do you think that that's the view of a lot of people, that they feel powerless, so nothing gets done? And then by the time it's too late, history tells us that then people start to move when it starts impacting them.
Yeah.
But people from the trans and the queer community are already saying that it's going to come after you.
I've been saying that for 10 years now, you know. Yeah. And it is, I think it's a mixture of apathy and inertia.
Yeah.
You know, I think
you can see what Trump's going to have. He's going to have all women with shoulder length hair, all having to wear dresses or skirts,
chained to the kitchen sink.
Indeed.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you can see where we're going.
Of course. Of course. And you know, actually, in lots of ways, this is another. This is another concept that really annoys me, because people kind of think that the US is leading the way in anti-trans and anti-LGBTQIA sentiment and action. And in lots of ways they are. But actually, the way that the US works is far more overt. So, you know, Trump signs an executive order and flashes it all about. The way the UK works is far more insidious and under the covers. You know, there's things like statutory instruments that basically mean that something can become law without even being discussed in Parliament. Mm. And that's what the Equalities and Human Rights Commission is banking on with their new code of conduct going before the Equalities Minister, that it will just be put forward as a statutory instrument, which is why it's so important that people write to their MP. And not just write and get like the standard blurb back of, you know, thank you for your letter. Mm. Write to them every week. If you're not getting the right answer, if you're not getting engagement from them, book an appointment to go and see them. If you're still not getting engagement, you can go to the Houses of Parliament in London and request to see any minister. Mm. So you can put a request in to see the Equalities Minister. And okay, you might have a long wait, but you know, there's an amazing group of people called the Trans Solidarity Alliance, Trans in the City, my organisation, work with, and I absolutely support them. I think they're an amazing bunch of people. They arranged for 1,400 trans people and their allies to come and green card their MPs at Westminster. On one day, and it's that sort of positive action to raise the issues directly with the people that at the minute are just hearing trans negative views that's so important. Every single person in this country has a voice, and you can register to vote and you can make that voice heard. Mm. You're not powerless, and all you need to do, like you say, is get over that inertia.
Mm.
Get interested before it really starts affecting you.
Mm. I think one of the issues we've got at the moment wouldn't be as bad if there wasn't so much money being thrown at the anti-trans and anti-gay communities. Mm-hmm. And especially with J.K. Rowling, she seems to be funding all sorts of court cases, and she doesn't care how much money she throws at this. She's outfunding anyone, like the Good Law Project, who are trying to fight back.
Yes.
And they're already going to be going to court. Is it next month or November?
November. Yeah. Yeah.
So it does feel like it's quite. This sounds a bit silly, maybe, but unfair.
Oh, it's completely unfair. But it always has been unfair. You know, by definition, those people on the right wing are the people that come from
money,
capitalist money. Yeah. So
there's money there.
Throughout history, they've always had more funding. Whenever we look back, whatever human rights.
I think the scary thing is the left normally there to look after the people that haven't got power.
Absolutely.
And it doesn't seem to be happening very well at the moment.
No, completely.
I would say that the Labour Party this time are the most far-right Labour Party I have ever known, or maybe in the history
of Thatcher.
Labour. I think that they are.
They're
more right than most Conservative parties, only because the Conservative Party became so far-right.
Yeah.
That you know they've seen slightly less.
Do you think though that some of this is that the Labour Party found out that their core voter, the union guy, the working class, was more far right than they actually thought. They weren't socialists.
Well, they all want to keep the money they earn.
Well, not just that, but they don't like people coming from abroad and, so say, taking their jobs and taking their homes and giving... Did you see what some reform character was saying about they were all getting free iPads? And
that's just ridiculous, isn't it?
But the problem is, it's critical thinking, isn't it? People have to critically think what they hear.
Yes.
And it's about, we're not teaching people how to critically think and analyse things that are coming from, basically, Telegraph, all the rest of it. They're all owned by people that are mega rich, who've got an ulterior motive to actually make more money from their publications. So the more sensationalised it is, the more chance they've got people clicking.
Does that mean that a lot of people, we know in the States, a lot of uneducated people, and that's probably how Trump got in the first place. But it's almost ringing true here now, where you see something and you think, can't you see through that?
Well, I think yes, you're completely right. And actually, you know, the way social media and the algorithms just deliver instantly. And, you know, so, you know, it's a lot more, you don't have to read really now, do you?
No, you just get bombarded.
Yeah. But I think the worrying thing to remember is typically right-wing views become stronger in society when there's either been a social shock or an economic shock. And we've had both. You know, we've had
COVID
and recessions.
Yeah, and Brexit.
It's
another shock. Yeah.
So typically when that happens, people feel under threat. And so they start closing their borders down and start looking
blame
within and trying to keep their own tribe safe, whether that's their family or their people that look like them. And then that then plays onto our sort of really base evolution traits of, if it doesn't look like me, it's a threat. And that's where you see, you know, right-wing sentiment surging. And of course, at the minute, you know, it's being...
It's Little Britain.
Completely.
Sorry.
It's just being compounded by social media, because it's just stoking the fears.
And it doesn't help that whatever you click on, it then further feeds that in.
The algorithm favours it as soon as you click on it.
I spoke some German the other day, and I'm now getting German ads.
Wow.
Yeah. It was weird.
Do you find as well that you've got all these friends on Facebook, and you used to have your friends and family in the feed, but now I hardly see them. It'll come to me 2 or 3 days later.
Completely.
Yeah.
I got people I don't know.
Yeah.
Or I get posts. Like today, for instance, I was getting posts from the Series 1 Land Rover Club. And it was like, okay.
And you're like, I am the target market.
You can tell by the wellies that I'm wearing tonight. Yeah.
I learned to drive in a Series 1 Land Rover when I was 8.
Did you?
Yeah, this one I learned to. Yeah, I was having driving lessons at 8.
Yeah. Amazing.
So what do people need to do? Can we sum it up? Because I know we've got running out of time. And it'd be really good to
take more interest. Look for the truth from those, you know, if you want to learn the truth about trans and non-binary people, go and listen to trans and non-binary people talking about inclusion. Look for the truth. Listen to people. But most of all, get off your asses and bloody do something. Am I allowed to say asses
You can say asses.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Coming up to 9 o'clock, aren't we?
But yeah, do something.
Get off your bottoms and do something. Please.
Please,
and thank you very much, please.
Very so kindly, yes.
Yeah, if you could do it now, thank you.
Yeah, yours sincerely, please.
Yeah, shout out. Yeah.
Thank you so much for coming in to shout out, Bob.
Yeah, thank you, Bobby.
It's been such fun, and I've enjoyed it immensely, thank you.
Okay, thank you very much. That's it, good people.
Of course, we'll be back same time and same channels next week.
Until then, poke around our website.
All right, you can find us at shoutoutradio.lgbt anywhere and everywhere you are. Until next time, take care and have a gay old time.
Bye, everyone.
Ciao.
Bye.
Sh-
Shout out.
LGBT Radio for you.